Thank you, choir. What a beautiful reminder. When Paul and Silas were in jail, they didn't mope around. They sang. And how could they sing? They had a song in their heart because God gave it to them. What a blessing and a good reminder. Thank you, choir. If you please stand with me, we're singing the welcome song this month. Lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Let this be a reminder in your hearts as you go about this week. We're going to let the choir come on down.
Lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Few there are who seem to care, and few there are who pray. Melt my heart and fill my life. Give me one soul today.
I hope that can be your prayer this week. Thank you. You may be seated.
Our scripture for memory and meditation this month is Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. If you'll join me, we'll say those verses together. Ready? Revelation 5, 11 through 14. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." Revelation 5, 11 through 14. And I think all of us can say, worthy is the Lamb. Amen. We believe that. Risinger family are going to come and sing for us at this time.
Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Jesus, you proved your love at Calvary.
wanted to make sure, but that was one of the songs we got to hear at the conference we got to go to. And I want to thank Pastor for allowing us to go. It's encouraging. The conference was based on the case for conservatism, why we hold our ground, why we stand for the music that we use, and why we listen to it and sing it in our churches. And I told the choir this morning, one of the things that they mentioned is, and I'm not big on semantics, and I'm careful about that, but instead of naming it a special music or special, they called it a musical offering. And I think it's important for us all to know that when we sing, this is our offering to the Lord. And that was definitely an offering. Thank you, Risinger family. Let's sing more about Jesus, and we're going to sing the song, I'd Rather Have Jesus. If you please stand with me. It's page number 391, page 391 in your hymnal. I'd Rather Have Jesus.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hands than to be the King of the vast domain or the olden sun's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Let's sing verse number 2.
I'd rather have Jesus than ends of loss. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be the King of a vast domain or the olden sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
And sing it out on the last. Let's start that over again. Do you have verse number 3 in there? Okay, here we go. We'll start that right over again. Ready?
He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hunger spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus than let Him go. And to be the King of a vast domain or the olden sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Great singing. Thank you. Please be seated.
For our scripture reading this morning, we're in Numbers chapter 13, and we'll begin reading in verse number 26. Numbers chapter 13, not a hard one to find. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 13, and that comes right after Numbers chapter 14. Help you find it that way. Numbers 13, and beginning in verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we are in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray that you'll help us as we listen this morning, that we will be not just hearers, but be doers also of your word. And I pray that you'll strengthen our faith. These men, 10 of them, had an evil report of unbelief, and only 2 of them had great faith. Would you help us to be in their number? Help us to exercise faith in you, in your word, and in your promises. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Almighty.
Good song today. Let me turn my microphone on here. Numbers chapter this morning, and we in our church for many, many years have always taken the month of January to talk about stewardship, and I want to do that this morning and tonight, and we had a little break last week with Brother Leroy with us, and a couple of weeks, 2 weeks from today, we'll have Brother David Gibbs, the Lord willing, will be with us. But in these in-between weeks, I want to talk about stewardship. And this morning, faith versus unbelief. There's notes on the back of your bulletin if you want to use those this morning. Faith versus unbelief. When it comes to areas of our tithing and of our finances and our giving, the issue oftentimes boils down to faith in the promises of God versus unbelief in the promises of God. Today I want to try to encourage you just to trust the Lord. And our church has been blessed, and you folks have been so faithful in your giving. And it's because we have learned through the years the principles of the Word of God. I have people sometimes come and talk to me about certain churches they went to and said all they do is talk about money. Somebody this week talked to me about a church, and they said the first 20 minutes they just talked about money and giving money and so forth. And you folks have been faithful in giving and bringing your tithes and your offerings, and God has blessed our church just unbelievably this past year. And we'll talk about that a little bit more tonight. But the Lord's been so good to us, and He's been good to you. We've learned that you can't outgive God. Amen? And when we come to this matter of tithing, and some of you may be a new Christian or maybe not a Christian at all, you may think, what in the world is tithing? I remember Brother Jim Dellerschmidt, who founded and started the St. Louis Hells Angels motorcycle gang. God saved him, called him to preach. And Jim, after he got saved, he went in one Sunday and he asked his preacher, he said, "Preacher," he said, "tell me what these tithies are." He had no idea what tithing was. He said, "What are these tithies?" And then he said, when he explained it to me, he said, "I wished I hadn't asked him," he said. But when you get the right principle and attitude and spirit, you're excited about it. And it's exciting to give to the Lord. Everything we have, He gave to us. We wouldn't have anything to give back if He hadn't given it to us. Our kids, a lot of times, when they were younger and still at home, we would give them money to buy Dad and Mom a Christmas present or a birthday present, you know. And they're all excited about being able to buy a present for us. Well, we paid for it, and we gave the money to them. Well, God paid for it. He gave us the money, didn't He? And then we give back to Him, and what a blessing and an honor it is to do so. Here in Numbers chapter 13 and 14 records for us the story of the Israelites when they finally came out of Egypt and enter into the land of promise. They're getting ready to go in, and at the border, Moses sent 12 spies to survey the land, to check it all out, and to bring back a report of the country's agriculture and of the people that lived there, and just to give a general report of what they were up against. The kids sing a popular song. 12 men went to spy out Canaan. How many were bad? 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? What do you think they found in Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Some saw giants big and tall. Some saw the grapes of Eshcol fall. Some saw God was in it all. 10 were bad and 2 were good. The spies went up. And this story of that is a symbolic picture of faith versus unbelief. Faith is the most important virtue in the Christian life for us to possess. First of all, it's the entrance into eternal life itself. We're saved this morning because we have faith. Talked about it a little bit in Sunday school, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody gets to heaven because they lived a good life or because they worked their way to heaven. Nobody's going to go around heaven boasting on what they did. We'll all be boasting in what Jesus did. Not of works, the Bible says, lest any man should boast. But it's also the key way for us as believers to please God. After we're saved, Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So in the Christian life, we need to be people of faith. Amen? We need to have great faith. And nothing's more important to understand when it comes to giving to God our tithe, giving of our income, than to understand this matter of faith. And so this morning, I want to examine one of the major barriers to obedience and to giving our tithe to the Lord, and that is the word unbelief. Unbelief. Many people find it hard to really believe that God will take care of them better if they tithe than if they don't tithe. And they struggle with that in spite of the many promises that are given to us in God's Word. When a believer who has tithed for many years stands up and testifies that God took better care of them on 90% after I started tithing than He did on the 100% that I had before that I used for myself, some people begin to scratch their head and wonder and don't understand all of that, find it hard to believe. And their problem is a problem of unbelief. Unbelief in the promises of God. Now, when we talk about tithing, tithe, the word tithe means a tenth. The Bible tells us to bring all the tithes into the storehouse. We bring 10% of our income into the Lord. That's our tithe. An offering is what we give over and above our tithe. We talk about giving our tithes and offerings. Tithe is our 10%. That's what we owe God. That's God's rent, you might say, for living on His earth and breathing His air. What we give over and above that is our offering. That expresses our love, our appreciation, our gratefulness to the Lord for all that He's done for us. And here in Numbers 13 and 14, there are four characteristics of faith that I want to apply to this matter of giving our tithes to the Lord and being faithful in doing so. First of all, number one, faith sees the victory. Unbelief sees the obstacles. Look at verse number 30 of chapter 13, Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. It says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it.'" Notice this, "for we are well able to overcome it." Notice the perspective of Caleb. Caleb was one of the two good spies. 10 were bad, 2 were good. Who was the other good spy? Caleb and Joshua, the two good spies. They began by recognizing some good things. Even the bad spies recognized some good things. Back in verse 27, it says, "And they told them and said, 'We came into this land, whether thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it.'" Even the ones who gave a bad report said, "This is a land that flows with milk and honey." And their report started out good, but their vision of good quickly was clouded. Look at verse 28. "Nevertheless," you know, it's always kind of difficult when somebody says, "but," you know, "nevertheless, give you this good going part, but," and that's what they were saying. "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell in the sea by the coast of Jordan, and all the other Ite brothers that lived there. They had all of them. They started out good, but all of a sudden, they focused on the evil and the bad things. Why? Because their good report was clouded by unbelief. Did they expect to go into an unoccupied land? That's not what God had promised them. Look at verse number 32. It says, "And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw were men of great stature." They said, this land, it's these people, they eat up the inhabitants. They just devour anybody else that comes. They just eat them up. Let me share a personal testimony with you from a pastor that attended the same college that I did. His wife was named Susan, and he said, "Susan and I started tithing at the most impossible time that we could even consider it. I had taken a term off from college to take Susan away from Chattanooga on doctor's orders to recover from Meniere's syndrome and inner ear disease. Though we relied on her income to pay bills, she had to quit her job because of her illness. When we arrived back home, our bills had piled up for weeks, and I had no job. Only enough money for a deposit on an apartment. No prospects of a job. No rich relatives. And it still owed some tuition on the previous year's school bill. For a while, it seemed like no matter what we did to get out of our financial hole, we just kept digging deeper and deeper. Have you ever been there? Some of you have. I hadn't found a steady job, just odd jobs here and there, just to get by. It wasn't enough to pay all the bills, so we got farther and farther behind. Wondering if we were doing something wrong, I went to our pastor, the pastor of Susan's home church, for financial counsel. His first question was, "Are you tithing?" I said, "No, that would be impossible. We couldn't possibly afford to tithe in our position." He said, "Oh, well, there's your biggest problem right there. Start tithing immediately, and God will start blessing your life." He said, "Shouldn't we wait until after we get out of debt?" He said, "No, obey God in the tithe now when it seems impossible to do it on your own. And be a good steward of the other 90%, and God will bless you like you never thought possible." I was skeptical, but after discussing it with Susan, we committed ourselves to step out by faith and start tithing on every penny that came in. Jobs were scarce at that time due to an economic slump. But the next day, I got a call from Tappan Stove Company offering me a job as an assembly line worker. The Lord knew I needed something to tithe on before I could tithe. So He provided a job immediately after we had made the commitment by faith to start tithing. To me, at sea level, S-E-E, sea level, He said, I could see with my human eyes, all I could see were obstacles, our debts, our bills, no job. But God wanted me to trust Him and step out and see the blessings coming by faith. Though on paper there was no way to explain it, that year we were able to pay off my college bill, get current on all of our other bills. In addition, God rebuked the devourer and healed Susan so we could return to Chattanooga to finish college. We never stopped tithing from that day forward. We've seen God provide for us in many miraculous ways. But only when we stopped seeing the obstacles in unbelief and started seeing victory by faith. And I want to challenge you this morning to put your faith in God. You put your faith in Him when He saved you. And we put our faith in Him when we trust Him in giving the tithe. There's no doubt there'll be a lot of obstacles that Satan will bring into your life and he'll bring along the way, just as he has in my life and in everybody else who steps out by faith to tithe. But I want you to say that God's way is bigger than all of those puny little obstacles that the devil will put in your way. I don't think any of us have any real idea of how big our God really is. Amen? And how big, that wasn't a very strong amen.
and how big the things are that he wants to do in our life. In 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him." God is looking for those who obey him, those who follow his ways, to show himself strong to them. He's looking for people who will do what he says so that he can show his power and his might. The question is, will we step out on faith and trust God and obey him in this area of tithing and receive his blessings in our life? Remember, faith sees victory, unbelief sees the obstacles. And there are obstacles, but we focus our eyes on the Lord by faith. Secondly, I want you to notice, faith says we are able, unbelief says we are not able. Look again, if you would, at verse number 30. It says in verse 30, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are,'" what's the next two words? "Well able." Say those two words together with me. We are?
Well.
We're well able, he said, to overcome it. Caleb's advice was the voice of faith. He was saying, we can, we are well able. Now we understand that his saying we are able was trusting in God to do it for them. Amen? We can't do it in our own strength, but God can, and God will use us. Caleb's voice was that of the overcomer. He was not speaking with the voice of unbelief. Look at verse number 31. It goes on and says, "But the men that went with him said, 'We are,'" what's the next two words? "Not able." See, Caleb said, "We are well able." The ten guys that gave the bad report said, "We are not able." The voice of unbelief. "We're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." You see, unbelief says, "I cannot do it. I am too weak. I am not able." Faith confidently echoes what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:13 when he said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Unbelief paralyzes us. It keeps us from accomplishing great things for God. Faith shouts out just the opposite. It says in Romans 8:37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Unbelief cowers in fear at the obstacles. Faith emboldens us and causes us to do what we could never even dream of doing in our own power and in our own strength. Tithing is an example of that very thing. Unbelief says, "Tithing? Give 10% of my income to God? Are you crazy? Why, I can hardly pay my bills with the 100% that I have now. How could we do it with 90%? But listen to the voice of victory in Malachi 3:10. The Lord said, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, saith the Lord. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." God says, "You do your part and I'll do my part." Millions of Christians have found that their finances go farther on 90% following God's commands than the 100% that they could use hoarding it all up for themselves. But how did those millions of people ever find that out? They found it out by faith. One day they realized that God will take care of me. And I believe it by faith. I'm trusting not in my supply, not in my resources, but in his resources. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus." It's according to him. And by faith, we put our trust in the word of God and in the God of the word and believe him. Unbelief says we are not able. Faith says we are well able. When I can't see how, God always makes a way. Someone wrote a song that said, "God will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me closely by his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way." And God will make a way. Folks, unbelief says we're not able. Faith says God will make a way, and he is well able to make that way, isn't he? We can trust him. Faith says we're able. Unbelief says we're not able. Thirdly, I want you to notice faith says faith sees God. Unbelief sees the giants. Faith sees God. Unbelief sees the giants. Look at what Joshua, the other good spy, later said in the next chapter. Look over in chapter 14 in verses 8 and 9 of Numbers. Numbers chapter 14, verse 8. He said, if the Lord delight in us, look up here at me just a minute. Does God delight in his children? Absolutely. And here's Joshua. This is the nation of Israel. They were God's chosen people. And Joshua said again, look at the verse, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. I thought that was an interesting statement. He said, they are bread for us. In other words, he said, we can go in. The unbelievers had said, they're going to eat us up. Joshua said, no, they're bread for us. We're going to eat them up. We'll take care of them. God will take care of them. God's going to eat them alive. They haven't got a chance. Why did Joshua have such confidence? Because he didn't focus on the giants. He focused on God. And when he saw God, he hardly noticed the giants. Look at verse 8 again there in chapter 14. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it us. And towards the end of verse 9, he said, the Lord is with us. He saw God. He saw how big his God was. And when he saw how big his God was, the giants weren't very big at all. Though he was well aware that the giants were in the land, he knew that. But he saw the power of God, and he put his faith in the God who could take care of the giants. He thought, God will make a way where there seems to be no way at all. That's the opposite of the 10 bad spies. They were the ones who said, God won't make a way. We are not able. Though they were aware of God, they focused on the giants. Joshua was aware of the giants, but he focused on God. And that's what God wants us to do. They said, the bad spies, in our own eyes, in our own sight, we are as grasshoppers. By the way, you don't focus on the giants, neither do you focus on yourself. Amen? You keep your eyes focused on the Lord. I think they were exaggerating a little bit, don't you? That'd have to be a pretty big giant to make you look like a grasshopper. Remember that movie that came out a few years ago? Was it Daddy Shrunk the Kids or something like that? And all of a sudden they shrunk them down. The little kids are just crawling through the grass. That's the way they were saying. We're just like little grasshoppers in the midst of all of these giants. You see, unbelief will always make the giants look bigger in your life than they really are. Unbelief causes us to have a distorted picture of reality. And it'll fill us with fear that exaggerates the obstacles and diminishes in our minds the power of the true and the living God. Some of you this morning might be a little bit worried about trusting God. Don't worry about it. He can take care of it. I remember reading a story some years ago about a fellow who was getting ready to cross a river. It had frozen in the wintertime, and he wanted to cross to the other side, but he wasn't sure about how thick the ice was and if it would hold him. And rightly so, he was very careful, and he started out just barely touching the ice, and then a little bit further, and then put a little bit of his weight on, and he was so worried about it, he finally got down on his stomach and just kind of pushed his way across with his hands and feet across that river. And he got about halfway across, and all of a sudden he heard this thundering noise coming down the hill, and he looked back, and here comes this guy with a team of horses and a big wagon behind him roaring down the hill and across the river and up the other side. Didn't have a care in their minds about that ice. And he stood up and took a deep breath and walked on across, believing the ice could hold him up. But you know, that's the way we are sometimes with God. You know, we kind of gingerly step out. We kind of even get down and just feel our way. And God says, I got this great big carriage and team of horses that just go, you don't have to doubt God. He is able to take care of you and to meet the needs in your life. Get your eyes off of the giants and focus on God. He wants to do some great things in our life. And then fourthly, faith takes us into Canaan. Unbelief shuts us out. Faith takes us into Canaan. Unbelief shuts us out. Look at chapter 14 again, verse 22, if you would. In verse 22, it says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me thou these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit and with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. You know, faith took Joshua and Caleb into the land. Unbelief kept the other 10 and their families out of the land. I want you to notice what they lost. What the nation of Israel lost because they believed the report of the 10 bad spies. First of all, they lost their land. They lost their land. Verse number 30 says, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. They lost the land. God had promised them this land. When he brought them out of Egypt, he said he was going to take them into the promised land. And he had given that promise for them. It was there to claim. But they were never permitted to go because they wouldn't believe God. All of the ones from 20 years old and older died because they wouldn't believe God. They lost their land. Secondly, they lost their lives. Look at verse 32. It says, but as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. They died because they wouldn't believe God. All of those that were 20 years old and older died there in the wilderness because of unbelief. They lost their land. They lost their lives. They didn't die right then. They experienced something even worse than that. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. A year for every day that they had gone in to search out the land. And that which God meant them to possess and which God meant to give to them, they wasted their lives and never experienced it because they wouldn't believe God. God meant for them to experience the greatness of His power. He could take them in. He was able to defeat the giants. But because of their unbelief, they never saw the mighty hand of God destroy the enemies that were in the land. Because they did not trust God, He did not bring them into the promised land. And for 40 years, they wandered as vagabonds in the wilderness. 40 years. Can you imagine 40 years knowing that you weren't going to get to go in the land? They had said, if we go in there, they're going to destroy our children and our families. But you know who it was that got to go in? It was their children. Were the ones that God took into the land. So they lost the land, they lost their lives. Thirdly, they robbed their kids of a legacy. They robbed their kids of a legacy. Look at verse 33. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 48 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. How sad that the unbelief of the fathers affected the lives of the children. And those kids for 40 years, that means that the oldest ones were 19. And 40 more years, that made them 59 years. 40 years of their life, they're wandering around because of the unbelief of their parents. Could I say this to you this morning? Our faith always affects our children. It always affects our family. And they missed out. Wouldn't it have been great if they had gone by faith and claimed the land and believed God and taken their children on into the promised land? Imagine the legacy of victory and of faith that they could have had for their kids and handed down, but instead they gave them 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Think of a son that was born the year that the spies gave the bad report. He spent the first 40 years of his life wandering because his parents wouldn't believe God. That's 40 years. That's older than a lot of you sitting here in this audience this morning. 40 years they wandered. Think about being prevented from filling your destiny until you are 40 years old because of your parents' unbelief and disobedience. Dads and moms, I challenge you this morning to step up by faith and believe God and leave behind your children a legacy of faith and obedience to God. What a wonderful thing it is for your kids to watch you live for God and trust God and grow up and live for God themselves. Most of that generation was prevented from going into the promised land. But two men got to go, didn't they? Joshua and Caleb did enter the promised land. They had looked to God by faith on that fateful day when the spies brought back the report. And God allowed them to outlive their generation and to be graciously rewarded for their faith in God. What a wonderful thing to trust the Lord. I remember as I grew up in a Christian home, my dad was a preacher and oftentimes pastored very small churches. I remember when he started the church in Withville, Virginia. I don't know how old I was when he started the church there, probably, I want to say maybe six or seven years old. And Dad's salary was $15 a week. Now that was more money than $15 today, but it wasn't much money then with at that time, I think, seven kids, and Dad and Mom were nine in the family. And Dad was always faithful to give his tithe. And I remember times when we as a family, we would pray about things. I can remember times when we prayed about tires that we needed on the car. We had Maypop tires. Maypop any time, you know. And they were slick. And we would pray in our family devotions and ask God to provide. And Dad would go to the mailbox the next day and open and have a letter from somebody and have just what he needed to buy tires for our car. I remember Christmas time when we had nothing. And we were poor when I was a kid growing up. I didn't know it. I didn't know any difference. That's just the way. I remember times when I had to cut pieces of cardboard to fit inside of my shoes because I had holes in the bottom of my shoes to keep from wearing a hole in my sock. And yet, God provided for us. Christmas time, there was a family in New Jersey. To this day, I don't know who it was, but they would tell Dad and Mom to go to the bus station, and there would be boxes, and they would have called or written Dad and Mom, and they got all the kids' sizes and ages, and they had boxes of Christmas presents for all of us, and God provided for us. I'll never forget this. There were two ladies who were retired missionaries. They worked in the Appalachian Mountains there in southwestern part of Virginia. And those ladies were retired. They didn't have much of anything. And my dad saw one of those ladies one day out behind Piggly Wiggly. How many of you ever seen a Piggly Wiggly store? And they were digging in the dumpster trying to find some stuff to eat. Dad took his $15 salary and went and bought food for those retired missionaries to help care for them. I'm just saying, Dad was always faithful and God always provided for our family. And you can look at me now and tell I've been well provided for. Faith. Faith sees the victory. Unbelief sees the obstacle. Get your eyes on the victory that God has for us. Faith says we are well able. Unbelief says we are not able. I can't do that. There's no way I can do it. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Faith sees God instead of the giants. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We look to Him. Faith takes us into Canaan. Unbelief shuts us out. Let's go in. Let's trust the Lord and go into the promised land. There's a lot of applications for what I'm talking about today. I challenge you to trust God, to see God. There are many areas of our life when we believe the Lord. I talked in Sunday school about a lady who was praying, she and her husband, that they would have a child, a second child. And they prayed and cried out to the Lord about it, and she found out that she was pregnant, and she got a letter after she found out she was pregnant from the specialist that said, there's no way that you and your husband can ever have children because of some physical problems. And 9 months later, they had a baby. Why? Because they didn't see the obstacles, they saw the God. It's not just in our finances. In every other area of our life, as we put our faith and trust in the Lord, there's many applications to this passage of Scripture, but I challenge you to take a step of faith today and say, I am going to tithe. I am going to honor God. I'm going to do what He commanded and bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I'm thankful that God, through my father, taught me at an early age to tithe. My first job that I took outside the home, I was a junior in high school, and I worked for Murray's Steaks in Wheaton, Maryland. It was a frozen meat store, and I worked there 20 hours a week. I worked 4 hours Monday night. I'd go to school, come home, go to work at 4 o'clock and work till 9, or 5 o'clock to 9. I worked 4 hours Monday night, 4 hours Tuesday night. I was off Wednesday night because we had church. I worked 4 hours Thursday, 4 hours Friday, 8 hours on Saturday. And so that was, 24 hours, I think, that I worked. You know what? Every week when I got paid, I would bring my paycheck home, and Dad would take the tithe out. He would give me an allowance out of my paycheck, and he would take the rest of it to help feed the family and take care of the family. We had 9 kids. We had to all pitch in. My senior year, I co-opted. I went to school in the morning, got out of school at noon, went to work at 1 o'clock at National Shirt Shop, men's clothing store. My senior year, I worked 40 hours a week. Worked Monday and Tuesday, was off Wednesday, worked Thursday and Friday, and all day Saturday. I'd bring my paycheck home, what was left of it after I paid for the shirt that I bought there that week. And I'd bring my paycheck home, Dad would take the tithe out, he'd give me allowance to live on, and the rest went to help the family. Kids had turned their parents in today, they'd get arrested for child abuse if they did that today. But you know what? Dad taught us to live by faith, and he taught us to tithe, and I started that when I was a junior in high school, and I'm 71 years old, and as far as I know, I've never missed a paycheck that I haven't given God His tithe out of it. And you know what? I've never missed a meal, unless it was on purpose for fasting or something. You know, God's always provided and taken care of us, far beyond what we could ever imagine. I'm simply saying, you have a great God, and so do I. And if we'll obey Him and follow Him, if we'll focus by faith on God and not in unbelief focusing on the obstacles, you'll be amazed at what God will do in your life. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for what You did for the children of Israel. Sad to say, there were some who did not believe and suffered the consequences. It's not a matter of the church needs money. Not a matter of God needs our money. You've got all that we need. It's a matter that You want us to have Your blessings on our life. And Lord, I want these dear folks here today to enjoy the same blessings that You've given to me over and over and over again through the years. You've blessed me. And I want them to have Your blessings on their life as well, and to see Your hand on their life because of their faith in You. Lord, You've done so much for us. Just the fact of our salvation and giving us heaven, we have so much to be thankful for. We can never repay You for what You've done, but we can honor You and give back that which You've asked of us. May we be faithful to do so, but may we start out by giving ourselves, coming to know You as Lord and Savior and giving ourselves to You. Then follow You each step of the way. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand together with me as we sing, All to Jesus I Surrender, All to Him I Freely Give. And as we sing our song of invitation, maybe there's some folks here today that maybe you don't know the Lord and you need to, first of all, give yourself to Him. I invite you to come and give yourself to Him. Maybe as a Christian, you say, I know I'm saved, but you've never come to a point in your life where you really gave your life to the Lord. You said, Lord, I surrender all. Here's my life. Maybe you need to dedicate your life to the Lord. There may be some that need to come and say, Lord, I haven't been faithful in my tithing, but I want to be more faithful. Maybe some want to come and say, Lord, I haven't done it at all. I don't know if I can do it, but I'm willing to trust you by faith. God, speak into your heart. We invite you to come. You can kneel here at the platform or take a seat in one of these front rows and just talk to the Lord. Do business with God as we sing together on that first verse. You come as he speaks to your heart. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Sing that second verse with me. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Would you bow your heads together with me? With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you a couple of questions and then we'll pray. I wonder how many of you say, Preacher, best I know how, I have been faithful and obedient to the Lord in bringing my tithes each week to the storehouse, to the local church, and giving to the Lord. I have been faithful, and I just want to say thank God for his blessings on my life. I've been faithful. Would you raise your hand as a testimony of that fact with our heads bowed and eyes closed? God bless you. Amen. Let me put them down. I wonder how many of you say, Preacher, I haven't been faithful. I've been doing some, but not as faithful as I ought to. Would you pray for me that I would be more faithful? Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you that I would be more faithful. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. I wonder how many of you say, Preacher, this is new to me, or it's new for me to start doing it. I've never tried this or been a tither. But today, God's speaking to my heart. I want to trust him. I want to obey him. Pray for me. I want to start tithing. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? God speaking to you about it. I want to start tithing. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Father, I thank you for the many blessings you've bestowed on us just by following a simple principle in your word of giving, of bringing our tithe to the storehouse. Thank you for the way you've blessed us over and over. You've blessed our families. You've blessed our church. And as a church, we tithe of the general fund that comes into our church and give it to missionaries. And we thank you that you've blessed our church amazingly because of it. Would you continue to keep your hand on us? Bless these who will start new. May they see your hand. May they focus by faith on God and not in unbelief focus on the obstacles. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, and thank you, and you may be seated. Let me share just a couple of announcements with you. If you're visiting with us, please fill out the communication card. You can drop it in the offering plate, or you can take it to the Welcome Center in the lobby. We have a new Bible for you we'd like to give as a gift to you. If you're a first-time adult visitor, you can pick that up as you leave today. Tonight, service, a regular service, 6 o'clock. We invite you to be back and be a part of that this evening. Also, remind our deacons of our deacons meeting tonight. Senior lunch, for those of you who are seniors or who just feel like you're old enough, 11:30 on Friday, we have our senior luncheon at the Longhorn Steakhouse in Florence. We invite you to come and join us for that, and so keep that in mind. And then don't forget, in just a couple of weeks, on the 23rd, Brother David Gibbs, the Lord willing, will be with us on that day and be a part of our services on the 23rd. Brother Gibbs is an outstanding lawyer, an outstanding preacher. He's one of my top 10, and you'll be blessed. Nobody can tell a story like David Gibbs, I'm telling you. And so you pray for him as he comes. Pray for his wife, Gloria Ann. She has really been struggling. She has seizures sometimes 4 or 5 times a week that she has to deal with. And just pray as you think about them for her physical needs. She's written some tremendous ladies' books, and Brother Gibbs will probably have some of them with him if you ladies know. I know one year she spoke at our ladies' luncheon and gave all the ladies one of her books when she was here. But it'll be a blessing for you on the 23rd, so keep that in mind if you would. For our offertory today, Brad Reisinger and the Adams, Nick and Philip are going to play their brass instruments for us. If you hadn't had the opportunity to put your offering in the plate yet, they're down front here. There's a couple in the back and one in the lobby. Again, I know some of you have given online and some have mailed in their offering. Thank you again for your faithfulness. While they're playing and you're bringing your offering, I'm going to make ready to baptize some folks today. So we invite you to bring your offering while they play for us.
We always like to remind you that the water does not take away our sins. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that does that. And as they are taken under the water, it's their profession that they believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and that he rose again. Taken under the water is a picture of the death and burial of Christ. Brought out of the water is a picture of his resurrection. That's why we baptize by immersion. We don't sprinkle or pour water. That's not a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. So as they come, they are confessing Jesus Christ as their Lord, and they're confessing that they believe he died on the cross for them, was buried, and rose again for their salvation. Jonathan Adams, in obedience to the divine command of Christ Jesus, my Lord, and upon your profession of faith in him, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Jonathan, what is your confession?
My confession is that Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
Amen. Buried in the likeness of his death, and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. This is Caleb Winkler. Caleb Cantwell was many years ago. I'm going way back. Caleb Winkler. Caleb, what is your confession? Jesus is what?
Jesus is my Lord.
Amen. Jesus is his Lord. Caleb Winkler, in obedience to the divine command of Christ Jesus, my Lord, and upon your profession of faith in him, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Buried in the likeness of his death, and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. I hope you'll pray for these young men as they grow in the Lord, and as they live for the Lord and serve him. Let's stand together for a closing word of prayer. Thank you so much for being here today and being a part of the services. Don't forget, tonight choir's 5 o'clock and the evening service at 6. Hope you'll be back and be a part of that. Brother Bob, would you come and lead us, please, in our closing prayer this morning?
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy to us and your grace. Thank you for bringing us together today. And many of us that are here and those that could not join us because of sickness and illness and other things that are going on, Lord, travel and whatnot. We love you. We're thankful that we're together as a body in Christ. Nonetheless, we're all here and that we lift your name up and praise you for what you've done in our lives and through us. Lord, we're thankful that many of us have seen victories, as the preacher talked about this morning. Through the years, we've seen you come to our aid and come to our rescue, things that seemed impossible. Lord, you've overwhelmingly, supernaturally intervened and met our needs. Lord, I can attest to that personally, and I know many men and families in this audience can do it as well. Lord, for those that are new and young and haven't had that experience, I ask, Lord, that you would give them the faith, put in them the faith and the willingness to test you, to try you, to know, Lord, that you are willing and ready to save and to show your salvation and to show yourself strong on their behalf. Lord, we love you and we're grateful for all that you've done for us and blessing us and saving us and bringing us here. And we ask for a good afternoon, and then as we come together tonight, that you would just continue to bless today. We love you. In Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen.